cetera, and the houses. Why do that? Because basically they were interested in controlling, so all they have to do is kill the king off, and then you have all the citizens, etc. So they have hatred, and they hate not only the other king who has power, but everything that he stands for. So therefore they'll destroy everything, even if it's good and they can use it, they'll destroy it just because it belongs to another person, somebody else produced this, therefore I don't want it. Okay? And we'll see that, not only in this time, here's the foolishness, wars. Of course they could just destroy the arms division, but they don't do that. They destroy cities, they destroy everything, and some people they will destroy whole populations. Like Hitler, when he went to countries, he would destroy the people, he would just kill all the people off. Burn all the fields and do all this so that no one can live there. Yeah? Of course, that's not only in ancient times, but also the Romans would do this, go and take, burn down whole cities, etc. Out of hatred of that group of people or whatever. So it's not a new thing. It's been going on since ancient times. And we see here is in the demons. They're doing a similar destructive action. This is also understandable because tamas means destructive, ignorance, destruction, laziness, etc. So we know that people in tamagun, one of their qualities is they like to destroy things, they like to destroy other people, they like to commit violence against others, they like to make curses on others. Their religion is to do black magic and curse other people. That's their only faith that they have in something supernatural, and it's destroy our enemies by curses and worshipping Kali or something like this. So this is their tendency. They want to destroy. Rajagun is a little different because in Rajagun you want to create things, not destroy things. Technically, a Rajagun person would not want to destroy all this. He would like to take it, possess it, enjoy it, and increase it for himself. Tamagun person will just simply destroy things. Why, of course, we see is one tendency of Tamagun person. He's ignorant, completely ignorant. He does not know right from wrong. And, of course, one definition is, with the Tamagun person, everything's opposite. Thinks opposite of everybody else. What everybody else thinks is nice, he'll think is not nice. What everybody thinks is religion, he'll think is not religion. So he'll be opposite of everyone else in all aspects of his life. So just because everyone is doing something else, he'll do the opposite. So this is a tamagun, irrational tendency. It's to oppose everybody and try to destroy everything. And of course, it is not productive. For society, it is also not the intention of the Lord. So the Lord establishes Dharma to maintain everything, not to destroy things. To maintain. Yeah? So he has Brahma create the planets, to create the systems, to create the living entities, including the human beings and the devatas. And he establishes the Manus, Svayambhuva Manu and his wife. He produces them to establish Dharma on earth. And the system of Dharma is to maintain what is given. And they do that by Dharma, regulation. So the scriptures, and of course the Supreme Lord and the great sages understand that without regulation, the tendency of the human being is to degenerate. Just like everything. You have a flower, eventually it withers and it dies, it degenerates. And human bodies, they wither and die eventually. And we cannot prevent it. A mountain, many, many billions of years later, it withers away and it disappears also. And it gets ground to dust by the weather and whatever. So tendency of everything in the material world, matter, bodies, etc., is to degenerate, transform into something less. And of course we can say the same about the whole universe, eventually pariah. Everything dissolves into finer and finer substances until we get Prakriti only left. That's it.
Nothing.
No visible anything left at all. And to start everything, we need the energy of the Lord behind it, the will of the Lord. Then that starts everything again and everything manifests. So once the Lord wills everything to manifest, and then he uses his agents like Brahma and the Devatas in the material world too. And of course the Purusha avatars too. Create everything, put it in place, and then he maintains it. Huh? So the system of doing that is the system of Dhamma, which means regulate the human entities. We can't regulate the plants and animals with Dharma. They don't have intelligence to follow rules and regulations. Nor do they have the intelligence to destroy everything. Animals don't destroy the world or themselves or their society or whatever. Human beings will do that. They will destroy each other. They will destroy society, they will destroy each other, they'll destroy other living entities, they'll destroy forests, they'll destroy lakes, they'll destroy anything they get hands on, they'll destroy it. You see, there's a great tendency like that, to just do things to extremes. To prevent that, we have regulation according to Dharma. So in other words, the tendency is that instead of sattva-gun, rajagun and tamagun become very prominent. And then this causes all the destruction that we see in the world. The Prabhupada says, down the trees. But then, out of rajagun and tamagun, you do that without any hesitation. Because I want something, I will chop down all the trees. Or because I don't like these people who made the trees, I'll chop down all the trees. That's it. Ignorance. So either way, there is a tendency to destroy things. We see, of course, Hiranyaksha. What was his propensity? Gold. He wanted gold, so he kept digging up there, digging up everywhere, destroying them. And the whole Bhumandala fell under the Garbhodak Ocean as a result. The human being has the tendency to go to excess because of his lower gunas. Now, of course, we can say that animals and plants are already in tamaguna, so why they don't go to excess? The whole thing is they are limited because they don't have any intelligence. So they're limited by the laws of nature. Human being has intelligence, so therefore you can go beyond the laws of nature and do all sorts of unnatural things. So in other words, the animals reproduce and make their houses and eat and do all these things. But it's in limits. If you go into the wild, you will not see fat animals. You don't see fat birds and fat deer and whatever. They take what they need and that's it. They're regulated by nature itself. So in all aspects, they regulate themselves. They're limited by natural things. But human beings are a little different because of his mind, his senses, his sense of karma, etc. He'll go to excesses of everything. Overeating, over population, over everything. Which means rajagun tamagun, sink downwards in the gunas. So this becomes very destructive to the human being, society, and to nature itself, the world. It disturbs everything. That's why the demons basically are a disturbance to the world. Because they're destructive. So, the Dharma is there, established by the kings to prevent that. So rules and regulations, everybody's limited on how they can act. Limits of how much sense gratification, how much karma, how much this and that. Everything is regulated. And enforced by the king. So the king makes laws, you have to follow the laws, you don't follow the laws, then you get forcibly restricted, jailed or whatever, or killed or whatever. And for normal people, if they're not too extreme, then the regulation is according to, if you don't do it, you get sin. If you get sin, then future life you have to suffer. So for intelligent people, that's the restriction. Due to karma, I will suffer for this, therefore I won't do it. For the people that can't follow that, that are uncontrolled, then of course the king is there to punish. So, in this way, there is regulation in human society. Things are, there are rules and regulations. And that also is according to the guna of the person. So we have rules for people in tamagun. They follow the sutras. And people in tamagun, rajagun, they follow those rules, and they're called vaishyas. And people who are rajagun and sattvagun, they are the kshatriyas. And people who are dominantly sattvagun, the rules for them are the brahmins, follow those rules. So this is the system set up, and it's enforced by the kings. In order that things go on nicely, population gets its limit of enjoyment and doesn't go to excess. There's a balance there. So they balance the whole system out, and they get enough so that they'll be happy in the material world, and at the same time, not too much that they're going to disturb everything. So this system, of course, has some other aspects. That is, that its goal also is not just to live in the material world, but also to get out of the material world. So therefore we get artha, dharma, kama. That's the one part of it. Karma yoga part of it. And we get moksha, the gyan section. Or nishkama, karma yoga, and then we get jnana from that. So in this way we have a nice system, not only to just live in the material world, but also to get out of the material world. So, therefore, this whole system set up by the kings also has a spiritual aspect, not just a material aspect. And, of course, then we add to that artha, dharma, kama, moksha, then we have prema. So, why prema is not included in all those purusharthas of the whole system of karma, yoga, varnashram, etc.? Why? It is a superior system. It is beyond the gunas. The others are within the gunas. Even jnana yoga to cause liberation. Liberation is beyond the gunas, but the process is in the gunas. So, bhakti is beyond the gunas. So it is superior to all of that system. So therefore it is kept separate. So, all of this is supported by the kings, and all of this is opposed by the demons. They do not want regulation of the senses. They want freedom to do anything they want. Therefore, when they see this system intact, the regulation, and also the worship of the Lord, they will try to destroy it, somehow or other. So it is described how Kamsa was preaching to his followers that, yes, what we will do, we'll harass the Brahmins because the Lord is affectionate towards the Brahmins. So even if we don't attack the Lord directly, we'll attack the Brahmanas. And this way, the Lord has got affection for the Brahmanas, so he will feel the pain. We wipe out all the Brahmanas, then we can wipe out the Supreme Lord. So yeah, these very speculative ideas about the Supreme Lord, that you can kill him somehow or other if we harass the Brahmanas or whatever. So, somehow or other, they have a natural hatred of this whole system set up by the Supreme Lord because there's restrictions on their gratification. They hate it because it's founded by the Supreme Lord and the ultimate goal is the Supreme Lord. And even if it's moksha, even that they detest. Why everyone should get out of the material world? We should enjoy in the material world. So, whole system is creates opposition. So they destroy it in any way they can. Destroy the kings, destroy the people supporting it, all the population or whatever. And destroy all the cities, destroy everything related to it. So this is irrational, but this is what demons do. So we should not think that, okay, there were demons way back in Hiranyakasipu's time, and this takes place, of course, in Chakshusha Manvantara, which was long, long ago. We're now in Vaivasvata Manvantara, the seventh cycle of 71 yuga cycles. Previous one was Chakshusha Manvantara, and this is when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu appeared. So yeah, it's quite a long rising, maybe 50 yuga cycles, 50 times 1 million or whatever that is. What is that? 200 million years? Or something like that, maybe. Like that. Long, 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 long ago. we'll see the same type of demon appeared when Ramchandra was there. Huh? In the 23rd cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara. And in the 28th cycle, we find Kamsa, the same. They do all the same things. Try to destroy everything. Hatred of the Supreme Lord, etc. So, of course, we see actually it's the same demons appearing again and again. So Hiranyakasipu then appears as Ravana, then he appears as Kamsa, and again he's doing the same activities. Destroying what is good, opposing, hating the Lord, destroying Dharma, etc. as much as he can, harassing the Brahmins, stopping sacrifice, destroying the population, etc. So, of course, that was 5,000 years ago in the end of Dwapara Yuga that Kamsa appeared and did the same activities. So we can also expect in Kali Yuga, same thing is going to happen again. We may not get a big demon like Kamsa or Hiranyakasipu, but nevertheless, the nature of Kali Yuga is Tamagun. So therefore, we'll expect a lot of destruction taking place. Natural destruction, because the nature of cycle of time is to go to Tamagun and everything gets degraded, system gets degraded, nature gets degraded. So at the end of Kali Yuga, no more sunlight, only no more rain, no more sunlight. Everything gets disturbed. So we can expect that anyway. But besides that, the guna of the population is generally tamagun, so therefore people in general don't want rules and regulations and are also destructive of themselves and others. And the leaders also will be predominated by tamagun and will do the same thing. So therefore, we can expect similar types of activities. It's not surprising that such things happen in Kali Yuga. Same type of activities will happen because of this tamasic influence. So we should not think it is only with the great demons and their followers that this happens. It happens all the time. On big scale, on small scale, or whatever. Why? That is the nature of the gunas. Gunas are within property. Gunas are influencing people. People's minds and desires are influenced by the gunas. So therefore, some of the population is going to be tamagun, etc. And then they will do these type of activities. So, it looks very hopeless. And generally, yes, Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. No more Dharma, no more kings. That was symbolized by the when Parikshit came. And then he saw Kali Yuga disguised as a king, false king. And then, of course, he stopped him. But after that, after Parikshit, of course, we had his Vajra and a few others. But then the whole system declined and no more kings anymore. Until Satya Yuga comes, then we get another king again. A descendant of Manu. He appears again. But now, the invisible, the line is gone. And it's described later in the Bhagavatam how it describes the different successions in Kali Yuga, and it's all, this person became powerful, then he got assassinated, and Asudra took control, and then he was reigning for a few hundred years in his family, then another person assassinates him, he becomes the leader, like this. This is the history, modern history, you know, of the civilization. One leader gets control, somebody assassinates him, and then he establishes his family in control, that lasts for a short period of time, then somebody will assassinate him. So that is how the government runs in Kali Yuga. One person overthrows another person, gets power, and all this destruction takes place in the meantime. So the situation in general is negative, not very encouraging for devotional life, but because the process of bhakti can be practiced anywhere at any time, regardless of the gunas around us, and particularly the chanting the name of the Lord, therefore, the chanting of the name Nam Sankirtan is considered to be the saving grace of Kali Yuga in spite of all the faults. So, by relying on the holy name, then we can reverse the process, in other words. That is the only hope. Of course, tendency is Kali Yuga means it progresses and gets worse and worse, but the Lord always maintains his influence in the material world, and he has his process, the Yuga Dharma, to counteract that. So if we don't like the situation of tamagun, destruction and non-control, then our shelter is take shelter of the holy name and encourage others to do so. So this will be the counteraction to this tamagun tendency. So one may argue, well, since Kali Yuga means tamagun, tamagun is the will of the Lord because Kali Yuga is automatically there anyway, so what can we do? Well, yeah, we can submit. Say, yes, Kali Yuga, let's all be sinful and destroy each other. We can participate in that. But the Lord also gives a process to counteract that. Counteract the destruction, counteract everything, counteract that, counteract all the gunas, and go beyond the gunas through chanting the name of the Lord. So though it is the will of the Lord that Kali Yuga is there, it's also the will of the Lord that people take to the process of bhakti and chant the holy name. So that was Lord Chaitanya's mission, to establish Nam Sankirtan and have all the people in the world chant it. So this will be the saving grace of Kali Yuga. Whatever happens, if we have this, then no more Kali Yuga. So that is the promise of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, any questions? Chakshusha Manvantara. Yeah, sometime, I don't know when, but in that 71 yuga cycles of Chakshusha Manvantara, Hiranyakasipu appeared and Hiranyaksha appeared. And Varaha also appeared in that time, and then Narsimha also appeared in that time. So that's in our present cycles, the next one, Vaivasvata Manvantara, and we've gone through 28 cycles in this. 28 cycles times 4,300,000 years. Oh, yeah. Will of the Lord. And just like we have 5,000 years ago, we have Mathura and Vrindavan and Dwarka there. And previous day of Brahma also, it's there. Previous day also. Time controls it. It is due to time that one mode becomes prominent, and then due to time another mode becomes prominent. And time ultimately under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So time is governed by the Lord, and due to time then we get yuga cycles. And in the yuga cycles we get the rise and fall of the different gunas in general according to sattva-gun, tamagun in terms of yugas. But of course even in Kali Yuga you can get sattva-gun, and even in Satya Yuga you can get tamagun, but it's prominence. Now. Kali Yuga. Tamagun is prominent. Everybody's born Sudra. Sudra means tamagun, and less than Sudra even. So that means really tamagun. So already tamagun. That is why it is very difficult to regulate people. They don't want to be regulated. This is the nature of society. But it's possible. Huh? Through chanting the name, we can encourage them to regulate themselves through chanting. Only by the will of the Lord. Yeah? That, like, we can say, yes, the Lord comes, he disappears, and then Krishna establishes Dharma, then Kali Yuga appears, and then it seems to disappear. He takes Dharma with him. But then, Bhagavan says, then Krishna is back in the form of the Bhagavatam. He's risen like the sun in Kali Yuga in the form of the Bhagavatam. So Krishna does not leave, in one sense. He keeps something there, so he keeps the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya comes, the holy name is there. So yes, tamagun is there, but he also has something to counteract if we are fortunate to accept the process. How can the demigods who supply necessity to the followers themselves have to depend on there was also sacrifice on the earth planet in Kali Yuga, there are no Vedic sacrifices, how the demigods getting their supplies? Okay. Oh, so the whole process is that the devatas are, it says of course, they are sustained by the sacrifices that people do, which means they're pleased by that. So this is the normal process that the Lord sets up, that human beings should do sacrifices, not only fire sacrifices, any type of worship of sacrifice also, so they can do worship or whatever. And the Davidists get their dues, and they're satisfied, and then they give whatever they're in charge of, their water or whatever. So that system is there. So the question is here, how is it that they depend on the sacrifices? So it's not they depend like we depend on food to eat, not in that sense, because obviously they're on a much higher level. And they don't have to eat in the normal sense that we eat either. But the Lord has made this cycle, and they're expecting that result. They don't get it, they get disturbed. Well, it's natural they get disturbed because it's the rule the Lord sets up. So they're not following, and when nobody's following, then they don't give the results. So in other words, they understand the rule of the Lord, and therefore if people don't give, they withdraw whatever blessings they're supposed to get, simply because the Lord, this is the rule the Lord sets up. So they are dependent on sacrifices, not literally, but in terms of understanding the Lord's rules. So, yeah, in Kali Yuga, they don't get the sacrifices, therefore they don't give anything. Because it's Kali Yuga, they do not give. So that's why Prabhupada often says, you know, in previous yugas, everything was fruits everywhere, jewels everywhere. Now you have to run around looking in the deserts for the jewels and whatever like that. Oceans had jewels, everything. But now, no. Devatas aren't giving.
I'm